Super Tuesday. It's a big landmark in the U.S. elections every 4 years, but should investors care? Here's what matters. Live from New York City, I'm Lauren Goodwin, and this is Market Matters from New York Life Investments. In this podcast, we bring you the best insights from across the New York Life Investments platform because we believe that by sharing perspectives and engaging with you, our listeners, we can all become better investors. Welcome, everyone. It's the week of March 4th, 2024, and tomorrow, Tuesday, March 5th, is Super Tuesday in the U.S., where we get the greatest number of states hosting their primaries. In many ways, this Super Tuesday is a formality. We already have a pretty clear picture of who the candidates on both sides of the aisle are likely to be. But not everything is a foregone conclusion, so I want to pick Julia Herman's brain on the items still outstanding, and then we'll take this chance to discuss some of the policy areas we are watching ahead of the election. Julia, first off, hi.
Hello.
Let's just level here. It's not a debate that Joe Biden and Donald Trump are likely to be the 2024 candidates. So why does Super Tuesday matter at all?
That's right, Lauren. This Super Tuesday is not super exciting in that there is no question about who the Democratic candidate will be. And there's maybe like a 1% question about who the Republican candidate will be. That 1% question mark is Nikki Haley, who did not drop out of the race after Donald Trump won her home state of South Carolina in the primaries. I think that was last week or 2 weeks ago. She says that she wants to make sure voters have a choice, and I respect that. The Republican National Convention, which officially gives us the candidate, is not until July. So it's doubtful she'll be able to hang in the race until then, unless she really stuns tomorrow. We're recording this on Monday. Super Tuesday will settle out the majority of the RNC delegates outstanding, though. So it is likely that, assuming Trump wins the majority, former Ambassador Haley will drop out of the race shortly after.
Okay, so it's overwhelmingly likely that the scenario we'll have unfold is two unofficial but basically official candidates, probably by next week. And so then they'll be officially named at the Republican National Convention, or RNC, in July, and the Democratic National Convention, or DNC, in August. Cool. Any other loose ends?
Yeah, I think there are two, actually, that are more impactful than and perhaps related to the Nikki Haley situation. Number one, Trump's VP pick. He's got a lot of time to make the choice, but it's going to be hugely important. We know that VPs often play an important electoral role for candidates, but probably the only thing America agrees on in this election is that both candidates are old. They're old. And so the VP role is going to be more important, probably, or as important than it's ever been.
It's interesting. And ain't that the truth? But you mentioned that there were two loose ends. What's the second one?
Yeah, the second is cash money. It's been widely reported that relative to this stage in the 2020 election, Biden is raising significantly more money today, mostly from larger donors, while Trump is raising significantly less money today, in part because his donor base is mainly comprised of high volumes of smaller transactions. Once the candidates are official, and Super Tuesday is a big landmark in making that the case, once the VP discussion really gets going among Republicans, I think that's when the real fundraising push will hit and we'll see which candidate has the upper hand.
It's no secret among the global market strategy team that I am not a huge fan of election years. And the main reason is that there's a lot of focus on politics, which matter a lot for our lives, but not always so much for investments. I'm sticking to my view that for investors, it's all about real policy change. And so one thing I'm looking forward to in getting past these Super Tuesday-like days is that we can get down to the business of analyzing the actual potential policy shift.
Preach, Lauren. Policy over politics. And we have the data to prove your preference. This is a shameless plug. If you want to hear more on why the relationship between markets and politics is much looser than a lot of people think, you can tune in to our Guide to Election Years episode from back in November 2023. There's also a written piece on that on NewYorkLifeInvestments.com/global-markets.
Yeah. And if you're a visual person, there's some really good charts in that piece just showing what a blue versus a red president, Congress, et cetera, really mean for the economy and markets, and tends to be not so much. So when it comes to real policy change, let's talk a bit about what is actually on the table so far.
Sure. Let's throw out this little disclaimer here. For almost every candidate in every U.S. election, it is an overpromise, underdeliver situation. So let's talk more directionally rather than dissecting every single little thing that's been said from the campaign trail. How do you want to break this down, Lauren?
I've been dividing the policy side, the actual potential policy changes for this election year, into four key areas. First, how much the U.S. government is spending. Second, what they're spending on. Third, international global competition. And fourth, immigration.
It's a great way to think about it. And let's just knock out that first bucket you mentioned, how much the U.S. government is spending. Both candidates and both parties are very willing spenders. Fiscal health and debt sustainability are questions we're getting almost every week nowadays, but we don't expect either candidate to provide a holistic solution here. You'll see at least one podcast from us on the long-term fiscal view over the next few months.
It's an incredibly important topic, not least because debt sustainability vis-a-vis other global economies does impact long-term interest rates, and we do expect to see more volatility in long rates in the U.S. as a result of that. But that reality, we don't see materially changing as a result of who's elected this year. As Julia said, both of these candidates have been proven very happy to spend. So instead, the real policy heft is where spending takes place. President Biden has identified areas including childcare, community college, prescription drug coverage, potentially paid for with the so-called billionaire minimum income tax. Former President Trump, on the other hand, has identified crime as an area of focus, likely funded by slashing civil service spending, most notably in the Department of Education.
And this is an area that we expect to see fleshed out much more over the coming months.
Exactly. That's one of the areas we will be very focused on as the politics play out, so to speak. So, Julia, can you take us through that third area, global competition, that was on the table?
Two categories here currently. Number one, China. Now, enacting trade barriers with China, competing with China, has been a pretty bipartisan policy area. But technique approach would differ under Biden and Trump. President Biden has been focusing on tech capacity, including diversifying chip production into the U.S. by way of initiatives like the CHIPS Act. Former President Trump has proposed a 10% tariff on all foreign goods.
Oh, boy, we've seen that movie play out before. That, I would imagine, makes some alarm bells go off for our listeners.
Yeah, especially when it comes to the idea of inflation, right? Higher tariffs, higher prices. This is why my hunch is that this is one of those overpromise areas. But I would bet that if one country stays in focus here as the potential target of additional tariffs, it's China.
It's very fair. The second area of global competition that we're watching is perhaps a bit unexpected, which is oil.
Yeah, Trump has been the poster boy of drill, baby, drill. And it's a tough policy to disagree with when there is such an urgent push to diversify away from the likes of Russian oil supply. And when things like the Red Sea attacks have been making access to Middle Eastern oil supply look so vulnerable. There has been a shale boom in the U.S., and oil and natural gas production has hit record highs. This, though, has been under President Biden, who has a lot of environmental concerns, but also seems to understand the importance of energy independence.
I think this is such an important point, because when it comes to energy independence, rhetoric and approach might differ more than the actual end policy, where there seem to be some similarities.
Exactly. It might end us up in a similar camp. So perhaps we should talk about an area where the end policy is likely to vary more greatly.
Yes, absolutely. And that's the last topic we had pegged for today, which is immigration. President Biden's immigration policy is likely to be along the lines of a bipartisan border bill that just passed in the Senate. President Trump has so far staked out three areas of immigration policy: border control, mass deportations of undocumented immigrants, and augmented travel bans for select countries.
Our team has already done a lot of analysis on what a deportation scenario would look like for the U.S. labor market, inflation, etc. You can see our Swan Lake episodes from this January discussing the impacts of that risk.
That brings us to our Portfolio Pause, a segment of the program where we share an investment idea. And you may have listened through this episode and thought, that sounds like a heck of a lot of uncertainty. Should I just stay out of the market through election season altogether?
Our answer to this is a firm no. We encourage staying invested, but diversified. Well-constructed portfolios are meant to weather these economic and electoral cycles. For most investors, the simplest approach is also the right one. Getting overly tactical in response to political noise can often be a losing game.
Exactly. And policies are still shaping up, so tactical opportunities in this election are still to be determined. And the time horizon for these opportunities may be several years. Historically, we have seen more volatility leading right up to the election, that last 6 weeks or so, when the policy proposals are more in place, but the uncertainty around the candidate is still there as well. We can use the information that we've been sharing today to identify areas of commonality, though, that might provide some more structural opportunities for investment. These areas have an overarching theme of national self-sufficiency in our view.
Now, obviously, total national self-sufficiency is not possible. We've actually done the research to show that it's not practical either in our annual megatrends work. But for investors looking for more structural ways to consider the election, there can be opportunities here.
While the candidates have had very different approaches so far to how they intend to counter China's tech influence, we see opportunities in U.S., European, and Japanese-based digital infrastructure. And that can include semiconductor manufacturing in the supply chain, data center capacity, even power capacity. And in the U.S., municipal bonds can be a different way to access this trend.
I'm really glad that you highlighted that this is not just an equity story. The other area of infrastructure that stands out as a part of this self-sufficiency bipartisan thesis is energy infrastructure. Under a Biden 2.0, we'd likely see greater green energy infrastructure investment, but we see traditional energy capacity continuing to expand under both Biden 2.0 and a Trump 2.0 scenario.
Coming up next, we're answering a wave of recent questions about the U.S. dollar. But that's it for today. We'll be back next week for more Market Matters. In the meantime, please remember to give us a like, follow, or review wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you have a question or topic of interest, reach out to us on LinkedIn. You can also follow our views at newyorklifeinvestments.com/global-markets, as Julia pointed out earlier. Until then, I'm Lauren Goodwin, here with Julia Herman. We'll see you next time. All investments are subject to market risk and will fluctuate in value. Diversification cannot assure a profit or protect against loss in a declining market. The opinions expressed are those of the Global Market Strategy Team, an investment team within New York Life Investment Management, LLC, and not necessarily those of other investment boutiques affiliated with New York Life Investments. This information should not be relied upon by the reader as research or investment advice regarding any strategy, and there's no guarantee that any strategies discussed will be effective. New York Life Investments is both a service mark and the common trade name of certain investment advisors affiliated with the New York Life Insurance Company, New York, New York, 10010.